Breadbox Media Programming is brought to you by CMN Momentum 2020 Online is the unique event for ministry-minded Catholics. Join us July 15th and 16th and jumpstart your good work for God. This two-day event offers best practice conference presenters and a virtual trade show. Also included are film screenings, music guests, and even a pro-life voter town hall. CMN is where Catholic businesses and nonprofits, leaders and volunteers, are empowered with practical hope and help during these hard times. Visit CatholicMarketing.com and register today. Your Catholic organization can join Catholic Marketing Network so you and four members of your team can attend Momentum 2020 for free. In addition to free access, a $75 CMN membership provides year-round benefits for Catholic schools, nonprofits, church fundraising teams, retailers, and more. Visit CatholicMarketing.com and register, and get ready to build professional and personal momentum.
Hi, I'm Scott Hahn, and I want to welcome you to The Road to Emmaus, a podcast from the St. Paul Center. My brand new book, Hope to Die, The Christian Meaning of Death and the Resurrection of the Body, is now available at stpaulcenter.com. That's stpaulcenter.com. I do hope that everyone will get a chance to read this book and reflect on the Christian meaning of death and the virtue of hope, especially in this season of grace and crisis. I'd like to read a couple of paragraphs at the very end of my new book, Hope to Die, The Christian Meaning of Death and the Resurrection of the Body. This is how the book ends, but I really hope that this is how our life continues. So, there on page 176, hope is what will sustain us in the days yet to come. It also will make it possible for us to experience joy in this day, no matter what sorrows presently afflict us. Just stop with me for a moment and think about that, because what God has designed this world to be is anything but a playground. It really is a kind of battlefield. And so we have to go through a school of suffering, and we enter into that school when we're very young, like first graders. And as we pass from elementary sufferings into junior and senior high, we're called to give consent to a mystery of love that is manifested in Christ, who incarnates this love, but for the purpose of dying and suffering a lot first. But he doesn't do it as a substitute so that we don't have to. He does it as a representative so that he can endow our bodies and souls and our meager afflictions with a willingness that comes from love, and with a redemptive value that our sufferings would never have on their own. But we are not on our own anymore. And so, no matter what sorrows presently afflict us, we can have this joy that comes from hope. And hope, again, as I've said before, is, I think, the most neglected of those three theological virtues: faith, hope, and love. We hear the faith proclaimed, we hear all about our need to love, but hope is what we need for these hard times. To endure, but not just to keep a stiff upper lip like a stoic, to really lean into it, to really carry the cross, and like our Lord, to embrace our cross. And why? Well, to read from that second paragraph at the end of Hope to Die. Death is not the end. We were made for life. We were made for joy. And in Christ alone, that life and joy will be ours. In Christ, that life and joy are already ours. Death brings the fulfillment of that life and joy, but we can live it now, even in the midst of grief, even in the midst of war, even in the midst of plagues and poverty and confusion. If we are in Christ, we have nothing to fear from the terrors of the world. They cannot kill the life inside us. They cannot deprive us of the joy that is ours. They cannot rob us of the hope that fills us, the hope of eternal life. And then I quote St. Paul in 1 Corinthians 15, verse 55, O death, where is thy sting? I'm also reminded of what St. Paul told the Philippians, that for me to live is Christ, to die is gain. So he was willing to carry on because his life and his ministry were bringing Christ to others. For him to live was Christ, but to die was gain. And so he looked forward to death, not because he was morbid or because he was a masochist, but because he had been transformed by the love of God, the life, the death, and the resurrection of Christ that endows our suffering with a capacity to grow in holiness, to not only test whether our love is real or not, but also to purify and perfect that love and to make it more like Christ so that we can be conformed to the firstborn among many brothers and sisters, as St. Paul states in Romans 8. This is who we are as Catholics, brothers and sisters. This is why we don't drop out of the school of suffering. Because when we get to heaven and we look upon the faces of this vast multitude that no one can number from every tribe, tongue, and land, we're going to see the graduates. This is going to be the ultimate commencement ceremony. For what graduating from the school of suffering will commence is an eternal joy that will make the happiest family vacation look like a garbage dump in comparison. The marriage supper of the Lamb will make the greatest friendships, the happiest marriages, pale in comparison. This is not exaggeration. This is not like holy hyperbole. This is the plain and simple conclusion that follows from the articles of faith, from these precious gems that we call the sacred mysteries. And even though we walk in darkness, we walk by faith and not by sight. So I want to encourage you, not simply to read my book, Hope to Die, although that would be good, but to take God at His word, to pick up the sacred scripture, and to read it and take it to heart, to share it with others too, who need to hear those words of consolation and truth, but to take God at His word in the Holy Eucharist, the Word incarnated, the Word who was spat upon, crucified, died and buried, the Lord who was raised from the dead by the power of the Spirit, who ascended into heaven precisely for the purpose of pouring out His Spirit upon us, not only to empower the disciples to feed us with the Eucharist, which is no longer bread, but to empower us to make our mortal bodies members of His immortal body and to live accordingly. And so I ask for your prayers on behalf of the St. Paul Center, as well as for Kimberly and me and our 6 kids and 19 grandkids, and particularly for Jeremiah. He's our fourth child, and he is just ordained as a transitional deacon for the Diocese of Steubenville. And it was such a joy for us as family to gather with friends to celebrate his ordination. And in a year, God willing, he'll be ordained to priest. And in 2 years, God willing, his younger brother Joseph will be ordained to the transitional diaconate. And then 3 years, Joe will join Jer in holy orders. But we need men to give consent to a life of sacrifice, to enter into this college, the highest level of the school of suffering, to not only celebrate the sacrifice of the Mass, but to live out what they celebrate and to empower us to do the same thing. And now, let's take a moment just to address a couple questions that come from listeners of the Road to Emmaus podcast. David from Gainesville, Florida asks, in the Bible, John the Baptist was beheaded and his body was buried, but his head does not appear to have been buried with him. What does the Bible and the church say about the loss of limbs and the resurrection of the body? Good question, David, and thank you for asking. First and foremost, the resurrection of the body is not just going to be the resuscitation of our corpse. It is going to be a new creation, not because we're going to get new bodies that are ultimately different from the ones that we had when we died. Jesus says, "Behold, I make all things new," not "I make new things." So it won't be a new body, but it will be a body that is so utterly renewed and transfigured, our human bodies are going to be divinized like Christ's body. And so we would say that if somebody was burned alive in a fire, or they were eaten by beasts in the Colosseum. Is God the Creator unable to redeem their bodies and resurrect them? No, because God the Creator and God the Redeemer are one and the same God. And He used our bodies, just like Christ, to bring us to salvation. So He who created our bodies will not just resuscitate them, but recreate them so that they will be like Christ's. John the Baptist is, of course, privileged because as we celebrate each year the nativity of John the Baptist, and the only other two saints whose nativities we celebrate are, of course, Jesus and the Blessed Virgin Mary. This is why our Lord says, no one born of woman is greater than John the Baptist. And in the visions of John in the book of Revelation, he sees the souls of those who had been beheaded for their testimony to Jesus. Well, we know from John's gospel, what is referred to in John's apocalypse, who was beheaded for his testimony to Jesus? He sees John the Baptist. And so in heaven, right now, in disembodied glory, is John the Baptizer. And then at the general resurrection, like us, he's going to get his body back, and the head will definitely be included. And all of his attributes are going to be magnified and glorified like us as well. So please, St. John the Baptist, pray for us. A second question comes from Eve in Los Angeles, California, and she asks, in the story of a soul, there's a passage where St. Therese describes how when she coughed blood into her handkerchief, she was excited because she knew that her death was coming soon. Dr. Hahn, I feel like that sometimes too. I'm excited about death because I can't wait to go to heaven. But other times, the suffering of this life gets so intense that I stop being grateful for my life and I start hoping for death. How can I balance being grateful for my life and being excited about death? Well, there are good questions, Eve, and then there are really good questions. And that one is the proverbial $64,000 question because, I mean, that is the daily struggle for each and every one of us. You know, in my own family, we have depression that goes back at least 4 or 5 generations. And so I'm sometimes weighed down, not only by my own proclivities, but seeing that in my kids as well. And so we have that battle to fight. But in a certain sense, the Holy Spirit enables us to triumph, not by avoiding suffering, but getting through them and transforming them into our participation in Christ's death. So Jesus wasn't giddy in the Garden of Gethsemane, anything but. And if He is the eternal Son of God, and He can say, take this cup from me, Abba, Father, nevertheless, not my will, but thine be done. This wasn't pantomime. He meant it from the heart because He was speaking with His human will that naturally dreads the suffering and pain that goes into death. But He also gave consent to the drinking of that chalice because, like you, Eve, He knows what's on the other side. So, you know, I'm half tempted to say, Eve, welcome back to the human race, because you are a true daughter of Eve, as I am a son of Adam. And what makes this a sacrifice for us to live each day and to be conformed to Christ is precisely the fact that it's not easy. In fact, it's humanly impossible. We can't do it apart from Christ, nor can we do it from hour to hour apart from the gift of the Holy Spirit. So let's be grateful together, not only for the privilege of echoing what Paul said, for me to live is Christ, but to die is gain. But let's be grateful for even those hours of darkness when we can't even articulate those words, because the promise of Paul in Romans 8 is when we can't pray, when we don't know how to pray as we ought, the Holy Spirit intercedes for us and on our behalf with sighs and moans and groans too deep for words. So in those times where all we can do is sigh and groan, realize this, the Holy Spirit is picking up where we leave off. His strength is made perfect in our weakness. Oh, I want to thank you for joining me on yet another spiritual journey on the Road to Emmaus podcast. If you'd like your questions to be addressed and answered on air, I want to invite you to send an email to emmauspodcast@stpaulcenter.com. That's emmauspodcast@stpaulcenter.com. And may the Lord set your hearts on fire and open up your eyes of faith as we conclude in this word of prayer in the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Spirit. Amen. Almighty God, our Father in heaven, our hearts are overflowing with gratitude and joy at the gift of Christ, for the power of the Holy Spirit, for the privilege of knowing ourselves not simply to be pardoned criminals or healed patients, but adopted sons and daughters, regenerated by the Holy Spirit, the Spirit of Sonship. So as your beloved sons and daughters, we ask that you would strengthen the bond of charity to make our life together as brothers and sisters be conformed to Christ, to advance the kingdom, to fulfill his mission for the church and for each and every single member of his body. We ask this with great confidence, for we ask all of this in the powerful and holy name of Jesus. Amen.
The Road to Emmaus is a production of the St. Paul Center. To learn more about this episode, visit our show notes at stpaulcenter.com/road. Our production team includes technical director and engineer Beckett Gitto and associate producers Melissa Gerard and Molly Trainer. Our sound mixer and editor is Philip Buss. Our host is Dr. Scott Hahn. Be sure to subscribe to and rate The Road to Emmaus wherever you find this podcast. The St. Paul Center is a nonprofit organization facilitating life-changing encounters with the living Word of God. To learn more, visit stpaulcenter.com.
Breadbox Media Programming is brought to you by...
I actually met my wife on CatholicSingles.com, if you can believe that.
Really?
And about... Yes, I had never done that before. Didn't have any problems with dating.
Natalie and Aaron met on CatholicSingles.com after they realized that they needed to find someone who shared their faith. Meet other faithful Catholics on the original Catholic dating site. Download our app today for free. Looking for a way to build daily prayer discipline? Seen the rise in mindfulness meditation, but not sure if it is possible to meditate in a way that's consistent with your Catholic faith? Just looking for a way to breathe new life into your existing prayer routine? No matter what you're looking for, Hollow is here to help. Hollow is a Catholic prayer and meditation app that helps users deepen their relationship with God through audio-guided contemplative prayer sessions. From meditations on the daily gospel, to the rosary, to daily examines, Hollow has something for everyone. Hollow is the number one Catholic app in the U.S. It is free to download and has permanently free content, but you can also check out all of the premium sessions for 30 days, risk-free, by signing up at www.hollow.app/breadbox.